Hello, this is Dean Gocher. I'm founder and director of the Institution for Authority Research. I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him. Then He's the one who directs your paths. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And this program's actually about a process that's being used today. It's from the garden itself, the very practice that Satan got Eve and then Adam to participate in, which is surprising, I believe, to most people to realize the foundation for the New World Order. I call it diaprax. It's the dialectic process, the very opposite of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It is the practice of Genesis 3, 1 through 6, and the practice of it, or the Greek word praxis. The name for the national test for teachers is praxis. So these are important words. We are going through what they call today a paradigm shift. It's really not a shift. It's a change. It's an abdication of absolutes, right and wrong, a very biblical structure of light versus dark, sheep, goats, heaven, hell, above, below. God says, "My ways are not your ways. As far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." In other words, God is saying, my paradigm, my way of thinking is not your paradigm, your way of thinking. So it's important that we understand these different ways of thinking. And so this program's about explaining the patriarchal paradigm, the right and wrong paradigm, the paradigm that has dualism. There is right, there is wrong. There is light, there is dark. There's sheep, there's goat. There's heaven, there's hell. There's flesh, there's spirit. And so it's always a paradigm of contrast, and it has a language that goes with the paradigm or the way of thinking, and it's the language of is and not. In other words, 2 plus 2 is 4, cannot be any other number. And so it's contrast. All of the laws of nature are contrast. There's right and there's wrong. You better pay attention to knowing what is right. And so truth, which is always established, becomes your foundation of life. And it isn't established because of your feelings or your thoughts. You might use your thoughts only to find the facts. And once you find the facts, then you think upon those things which are above. In other words, the law of gravity is higher than you. You can't ignore it. You might find different laws to counter its effect, but it is never changed. It is always established. It's always a law set by God. And so the highest authority overall is God Himself, the Creator. Now that's a patriarchal paradigm. It's a top-down system of thought. But the dialectic, if we have to practice the dialectic way of thinking, then we have to counter and reject a right and wrong way of thinking. In other words, everything's relative. There is no right or wrong. Now, Hegel is the one who's most noted for the dialectical process. He's noted for a formula. It goes like this. A plus negative A equals A. Now, in true math, that wouldn't add up. But what he's dealing with isn't real math. Paul says in 1 Timothy 6, 20, chapter 6, verse 20, he says, avoid, in other words, try not to get involved in this environment. Avoid the oppositions of so-called science. Now, he didn't say avoid oppositions because that's a patriarchal paradigm, right versus wrong. It's just that you do what's right, and if somebody's doing what's wrong, you tell them what they're doing is wrong, and therein comes conflict if they don't want to change what they're doing. Now, the dialectic, Hegelian dialectic thought, he didn't come up with it, he just put it in a philosophical formula so it'd be more readily applied in academics, in government, in education, in workplace, and even in the church. It's always been around, but now it's just like any law. What he did was found the laws of the flesh, not the laws of nature itself, like drag, thrust, lift, gravity, not those laws. He found the laws of the flesh, all that's of the world. See, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So now, what that means is feelings become the foundation of life. He says, once we're no longer concerned about what somebody has done wrong, and we're only concerned about what they have done right, then peace and affirmation have come to them. In other words, when we no longer think about the negative things of life and we only focus on the positive. If you notice a lot of the shows today, the entertaining shows, it's not a lose situation. Somebody might lose, but you know, you find something in their experience that you would say, oh, that's wonderful. So you leave them, even though they're a loser, not feeling like they are a loser. You know, they feel uplifted. They had a wonderful experience. So the experience of life becomes the foundation. You want to make sure that it's an experience that's pleasurable experience. Do you realize that's the foundation for abortion? Why would a woman, a young lady, want to have an abortion? It's because that child represents a negative life. It doesn't represent a positive life, an environment of pleasure. It represents an environment of responsibility, late nights up walking and taking care of the child and listening to it scream and figuring out what's the problem and working. And you know, it's just not a life of pleasure unless you love life itself. Now, if you love life itself, then you're willing to accept the negative and the positive. You know, the Bible says, even Paul says, I've learned to be content in whatever condition I find myself in. In other words, I'm not driven by the laws of the flesh. But the dialectic is built on the laws of flesh. Today, you've lived according to the laws of the flesh. You've decided who you're going to talk to and who you're not going to talk to. I guarantee that you've struggled with this. Even if you agree with me, you still struggle with it in your encounter. You agree with me in the fact that we are not to live by our feelings. But you know, you tend to gravitate to people who make you feel good. And so now today you notice that feelings are treated higher than truth. Oh, you guarantee you've experienced this. You go in and you share the truth, even share it in love. Because that's why you're sharing it. Because there is right and there is wrong. There's light and dark and sheep and goats and heaven and hell. And so you're concerned about a person's soul because the soul is tied to right and wrong. Do you know the law is perfect converting what? The soul, not your feelings. You know what the law does to your feelings? So you come into an environment that's lawless and you introduce the law and all of a sudden you hurt everybody's feelings and now you're a negative, divisive, hateful, intolerant, prejudiced, maladjusted, a lower thinker, an aggressor, a blocker, a dominator. You're the one who needs counseling because you don't know how to get along because now you found yourself in a dialectical paradigm. And you introduced a patriarchal paradigm, a biblical paradigm of above below, spirit versus flesh. See, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, God says, my kingdom is not of this world. That's what Jesus said. His foundation is not built on the flesh. It's spirit. God is spirit. But you bring his law, his word, which is established for all times, into an environment that's in change. Because, see, if you think that everything's positive, we all got to get along. And we don't want those negative people. Then all of a sudden, you're finding yourself a social reject. Do you know, the Bible says, deny yourself. So that means you have to get control over yourself. Denying doesn't mean you get rid of. There's just times that self knocks on the door and says, hey, let's go out and party. And you deny it. You say, no, I am. In fact, to deny it means you are in control of it. You take control over it. The same thing your parent would do. Say you wanted to go out and have a good time. You know, go out and run around with your buddies. And then your parent says, no, you can't go out. Now, they interfered with pleasure. They interfered with the things of this world. They interfered with maybe even your mind, your future, your potential. Now, whether they were right or wrong in their response to the situation, that what they introduced in your life was a top-down system. They might have the wrong response in that system. But the system is important because it's a patriarchal system. They say, no, you cannot go out. Now, that's a negative. Now, when you say cannot, there's a can. You can do this, you cannot do that. Now, we understand when you look at the garden experience, that's all God introduced to Adam and Eve. See, to Adam, he says, you know, you can eat of all these trees, but this one tree over here, thou shalt not. You can't eat of it. He even labeled it. He says, it's the tree of knowledge, good and evil. And the day you eat thereof, he also gave a condition. Because, see, if you do something wrong, why? Because this is what's going to happen to you. The day you eat thereof, you will die. Now, that's a patriarchal paradigm. You want to head out the door, go play with your friends, I've shared about this in the past, the dopamine experience. You want to have the pleasure of this life. And it's not at that moment, by the way, it's not a lust of the flesh. You're just fallen flesh. And God's not against, the pleasure. He's not against pleasure. And so you're going to go out and have pleasure. And the parent is not against that, the pleasure itself. It's how you acquire it. See? And so they say, no, you can't go out. Because they see these friends of yours and they go, evil company corrupts good morals. And see, good morals say there is right and there's wrong. There's good and there's evil. And they're the one now who determines what's good and what's evil. Not you, not the environment, not your friends, not anything outside the door. But they're the keeper of the home. They're the keeper of the gate. They're the keeper of what comes in and what goes out. And they say, you cannot go out. That's the same command that God gave Adam in the garden. You cannot. It wasn't the issue of the content. It wasn't the issue of whether it was going out and playing with your friends or of eating of a tree. It was the command that gives it that child or Adam an office. In other words, not only God is declaring to man, all of mankind, from Adam on, that he is the creator, that he is God. He's the one in authority. That's the same structure you experienced in your home. You didn't like experiencing it because your life, your future, your potential, your hopes were based upon the relationship with the world, and you're heading to the door, and the parents said, cannot, must not, thou shalt not, and they introduced restraint in your life, not only verbally, because that cannot wouldn't mean anything if they didn't have physical force. And, of course, you want to get them out of this right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell, patriarchal, biblical foundation that Jesus, by the way, never stepped out of. He said, what my Father commands, that's what I do. He who does my Father's will in heaven is my brother, sister, mother. His prayer, our prayer is, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a patriarchal paradigm. In other words, we live according to God's paradigm. But God has already said, my paradigm isn't your paradigm. And we find our paradigm, your paradigm, my paradigm, manifest in the garden, in their disobedience, both the woman and the man, Adam's disobedience to God. And so now, the child, as they're heading to the door to go out and play with their friends, they're told they can't go out, and then the only way out of this right-wrong is through dialogue. You know, the Bible says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Anything more than that is of evil. So how do you get out of this right and wrong? You go to dialogue. See, the Bible is all about preaching and teaching. You preach and teach truth. You dialogue opinions. Now, opinions are relative. Opinions, your opinion today, even on the Word of God, carries your feelings. Carries your thoughts. It's not an is and not. Your opinion isn't an is and not. It's an ought. And I'm going to hand myself. But what happened with Eve then, and the woman in the garden, is that when Satan approached her, she had already had the thou shalt not. Either God had told her or Adam had told her, but we know that she already had heard God's law. And when Satan produced a sentence structure that is used today all across our nation, and around the world, you take social psychology training, and you get up to the higher levels. Eventually, you learn methods called neurolinguistics, nominalization, all kinds of language. It's just language. It's sentence structures. It's diagramming, but it's convoluted in that it is structured in such a way it will draw your feelings to the front. Because your feelings were suppressed in a moment in the past. They were suppressed when you turned to your parents and you said, why? See, your feelings were going out the door. They said, stop the feeling. Do what I tell you to do. You cannot do it. And then we try to get them into dialogue. Why? Because it's only in dialogue you can rescue your feelings. It's only in dialogue that you can liberate the flesh. Liberate the pride, your dignity, your self-esteem, your worth. You know how much you're worth? Well, Jesus was sent by the Father. That's how much you're worth. He loves you. But how much are you worth in your flesh? Remember, God said, my kingdom, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. So he's not impressed with your feelings to the things of this world. But we are. That's the way we think. You get up this morning thinking about your feelings. If somebody hurts your feelings, you're not going to go over and want to visit with them, you know, to get some more of your feelings hurt. So the only way out is through dialogue. Either get rid of them, and of course the parent is stronger than you. And so you say, well, why? Why can't I go out? You know, didn't you ever feel like going out and somebody told you you couldn't, and actually it would have worked out better if you had, but you listened to them because, and then you, and then in the end, on top of that, they say, they have the audacity to say a scriptural structure again, if you obey me, you're blessed, and you disobey me, you're cursed. Well, wait a minute, if I go out and play with my friends, that's not a cursing, I'm getting blessed out there, and you say it's a bless if I stay in, and my feelings are crushed, and I can't do, and I guarantee there's been a time in your life you said, I'm going to die, you know. You go to your room, your parents say you can't go out, and you're sitting there, you stop breathing, and you, oh, me, you know, I'm going to die. My parents hate me, you know. And that whole scenario, that's the flesh. We love it. That's our foundation. That's what you and I had when we came into this life as babies. That's all we were looking for, feeding the flesh. Is that wrong? Well, it's not wrong. Get this. It's not wrong until God says it's wrong. Because God gave Adam and the woman, Eve, in the garden, stuff to feed the flesh. See? It's not feeding the rebellion. It was, there's some good trees here. Eat of them. You know, that's the temporal, natural body that God's taking care of. Temporary. But it would be eternal because God gave them the tree of life. None of the other trees would give them eternal life, but that tree was the tree of life. And so as long as they had access to that tree, they could live forever in a wonderful garden. But what happened is that every time they went by a particular tree that God said, you can't do it, something inside of them triggered a desire to relate with that tree. Now, the only thing stopping them from relating with that tree, eating of that tree, going out and playing with their friends, whatever it is, was the parents' command, you cannot. And if you do, you're going to be punished, chastening. In what God told Adam, you're going to die. You die. Now, I don't know if Adam understood what death was, but it doesn't sound good. There's a sense that it's not life. And so that's a barrier. It's a mental barrier. See, at that time, it's just a word. Death. It's just a word. Not experienced yet. Not the consequence of disobedience. It's just a realization that there is right and there is wrong. And somebody above me gave me those standards. And that's the same thing happened when your parents told you you couldn't go out. They were giving you a standard of right and wrong. You choose. And we don't like that choice because we want their love. We, you know, they feed us, they clothe us, they protect us. You know, they got that wallet. Dad pulls that money out, and you know, we want to get something. You know, we want some toy as a child, and wow, you know, birthday, there it is. Wow, and we, you know, it doesn't take us very long that it wasn't just an apparition. It was actually it was a result of some green stuff in Dad's wallet. Now, you know, the objective of the socialist, by the way, is to get that green stuff out of the wallet. You know, the taxation system. I'm getting ahead of myself here. But so bypassing the father's restraint, because it's the father's commands that determine whether you'll be blessed or not. And so the only way out of that scenario is why? Let's dialogue. How do you feel? Well, I feel. What do you think? Well, I think. Did you ever have to do something you didn't want to do, Dad? Why can't I go out, you know? And the parent stops it. They become the very foundation, a structure, paradigm of God when they say, because I said so. It's because of my office. I have the right of office to tell you. Not based upon your feelings or your thoughts or my feelings and my thoughts. Here is a command, a categorical imperative, unquestionable, and as far as you're concerned, universal. It is as set as the laws of nature. It's set above you, just like God, above you. I'm from above, you're from below. And so are there, because I said so, stops the dialogue. You can't get around it. And internally, because self is now fully involved, because you talk to yourself. You can't talk to them because they're unreasonable, because your reasoning, your thoughts are to the experience of going out and playing with your friends. Your thoughts are to the things of this world, to your feelings, and to your friends' feelings, and your friends' thoughts, and to the world's thoughts, to what the village thinks, to what the group thinks, to what society thinks, to what the relatives thinks, to what somebody else thinks. It's their opinion that affects your life. Like, you know, the word tolerance isn't showing up on the day of judgment, because God is and not. That I am God and you are not. That's what he says. And feelings, your opinion. You tell God on the day of judgment, well, I think, you know, or well, I felt. Your feelings and your thoughts don't count. It's what he said. I told you. Did you go? Did you? Or did you not? Remember those who come to Jesus, he says this is the future. He said, there will be those who come to me and say, Lord, Lord, look at all we've done. Why were they doing it? Their feelings and their thoughts, the opinions of men, in your name. You know you can do that. And his response is, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Wait a minute. Giving a neighbor some water in the name of Jesus, how can that be iniquity? How can it be iniquity to feed the world in the name of Jesus? How can it be iniquity to pack the church full of people in the name of Jesus and that be called iniquity? How can it be to desire a Christian nation in the name of Jesus and that be called iniquity? It's because Jesus said, because I didn't know you. See, it is, how does he know you? Deny yourself. Wait a minute, you're standing at the door looking out, going to play with your friends. Parents says you can't go out. And then you go, why? You know why you say why? To rescue yourself. You're not denying yourself. When you say, why can't I go out? You're rescuing your flesh. You're challenging authority. You're not asking why so that you might become wise in your parents' standards to practice a patriarchal system. No, you're doing it because you want to practice a dialectical system called a heresiarchal system, which means change. You want to change the system, change the situation, change the condition, change the paradigm. And the parent won't change the paradigm, because that is a paradigm that even to a secular home, when God broke up the Tower of Babel, in many cultures, that structure was rescued, because the Tower of Babel's whole success was the heresiarchical change paradigm. Group think, cosmic oneness, the language of ought. You know, we ought to be able to do whatever we feel like doing. That's the imagination of the heart. That nothing, God said nothing will be impossible to them. In their minds, they are God and nothing will restrain them. The land of oughtiness. The environment of oughtiness, and that's where we automatically, you go and I go, when we can't have our way, we talk to ourselves, and the language of self is ought. Oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda. And when Satan throws that neurolinguistic sentence structure at Eve, yea, hath God said, thou shalt not eat of every tree in the garden, her response is the ought. Oh, it's mixed with the not. Remember, Hegel said A plus negative A. Right versus wrong. How does he get to synthesis? How do you get back to an A? How do you bring two opposites together? It's the ought. I ought to be able to go out. Your ought is the pleasures of this life. Your ought is to the flesh. Our ought. Now, God's ought's different. But our ought. See, God's way is different than our way. Satan just mimics God. He can't create. He perverts. And in essence, look at our perverse society. What is it? It's practicing a dialectical process. It's the abomination of this nation. We're a lawless nation. Why? Because we've rejected God's paradigm, a paradigm of law. I encourage you to get on my website, authorityresearch.com. And on that website, the last article I wrote was Civil Disobedience. And it goes into great length on the dialectical process. Maybe to some people, mind-numbing. But those who are in pain and want to know, you know, only people who, whenever you know, somebody gives you some task to do and you're not really interested, it doesn't mean anything to you. But when all of a sudden you realize this is the key to solving a lot of my understanding of the problem, what I'm in and how to solve it, then you have the energy to go through. And only if you have that energy, you're going to go through this. And I don't mind. I don't want people just to read it and get some intellectual insight. In fact, I'm a little leery of that because they'll turn and rend you. But if you want to know what's going on, read the art. Civil disobedience. The first, almost half of it is just dealing with this process. And the law. And I was going to cover and continue with Irvin Yalom, but maybe I'll get into this part about the law. Not the legalism of the law or licentiousness from it. Some people think, well, I'm saved. I'm God's merciful and he's gracious and therefore I'm free from the restraints of the law. No! Even Paul says in Romans 7, with my mind I love the law of God. But he realized something. He says, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? It's the law of the flesh. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All that's of the world. What you're confronting with your parents, you want to belong to the world. And the parent says, no, there's right and wrong. Now, they may be of the world too, because dad and mom aren't perfect. But the key is the office is. And Satan knows it's the office he's going after. Because if he can destroy the office, he'll destroy your understanding of right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, health, because there is no right or wrong answer to the question. If there is no right or wrong answer to the question, then the question is an ambiguous question. And you know what? The French actually refer to the word ambiguity to homosexuality. Well, look at our culture. We have moved into abomination. Why? Because we have rejected a right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell, patriarchal paradigm. It used to be in the classroom where my mom, when she taught in the public schools, one-room schoolhouse, she could have the Ten Commandments on the schoolhouse walls, which was the law of God, which, by the way, it describes God, not us. Because we look at the law and we say, okay, God says we have to obey it, so we try to obey it and we can't. And then God says, you know what? Then you know what that law is all about? It curses you because you think you're God. And you're not God. There's only one who can come and fulfill the law, and it's Jesus. And by him fulfilling it, he's God. All the law can do is tell you to look for him when he comes. It condemns you. There's nothing wrong with the law. The law just reveals there's something wrong with you. Well, we'll pick up on this on the other side of these messages. Get on the website, authorityresearch.com. My name is Dean Gocher, and like I introduced myself, I'm the founder and director of the Institution for Authority Research. And it's all about looking at this patriarchal paradigm with the intent that restore it in your life under God in Christ.